We living out the good life, yeah. I ain't gotta worry about a thing.
Oh no.
Had some obstacles I overcame.
Oh yeah.
You don't have to ever be the same.
Oh Lord.
Cause when we change the mind, we change the game.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Kenny Clutch, with another episode on the Clutch Vision Podcast. We got a very, very, very special episode out there for all the married couples and all the couples out there that are looking and inspiring to be married someday. All the fiancés that's out there, the girlfriends, the boyfriends, whatever it is that you have, whatever type of relationship you got, you want to tune into this right now, okay? So make sure you share this with your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, abuela, abuelo. Share it with your stepdad, your stepdog, your step tarantula. I don't care who it is. Share it with somebody who needs to hear this right now, because it's about to get hot and steamy and juicy, and we coming all up in your kitchen. All right? So first and foremost, I got to shout out my lovely, lovely, lovely partner in crime, my wife, my rib, the love of my life,
Miss
Josie Thomas is in the building to co-host with me today. Say what's up, girl.
What's up? So excited to be here.
Yeah. And now we have our special, special guest. We're going to be mingling with the mingles tonight. Nick and Easton Mingle are here tonight, and they have a special, special program called the Marriage Checkup. Yes, just like you got to go to the doctors to get a checkup. Oh, we want to check that marriage today.
What's going on, y'all?
What's going on? How y'all doing?
We chilling. Thank you. Everybody out there, what up? What's up, family? What's up, Kenny Clutch Land? Kenny, it's a privilege and an honor. Appreciate the invite, brother. You and Josie, you know we love y'all. So, you know, we're family right now. So we're going to have a good time.
We're just thankful to be a part of this leg of the journey.
You know,
it's been a journey. We've been with y'all for, a couple years going back.
And so yeah.
We're transitioning to another leg.
Yes.
And we're just thankful and honored to be a part of, you know, informing and educating and helping to support the marriage community.
True. Amen.
Now, real quick, before we get this popping, Easton, listen, I got a little bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Listen, the brother ain't had none of that chicken pot pie. You know what I'm saying? Since we was in the hospital with Christian,
I was thinking the same thing.
I'm just saying,
you know, Thanksgiving
is coming up in a couple.
You're right. You are right. You are so right. Well, listen, I have pie crust on deck.
Yeah,
I do. I have pie crust on deck because I don't make my own pie crust. I just don't have that kind of time in my life. But I do have it on deck, and I got y'all. I do.
Hey, listen, y'all. For the audience, let me tell y'all something. I was never really a big fan of chicken pot pie. Until I had Mrs. Mingle's chicken pot pie.
Yes. She throws it down. Yes, sir.
Listen, the crust was so good and so soft and like, you know, it was just the right.
We haven't had one since then, and I don't think that.
We haven't.
I don't think any other would compare. So
Yeah.
So you're right about that, though. I agree with that. It's there's only one. There's only one.
I appreciate the compliment. You know. I got y'all. Listen, I think I made one. I've only made one this year in 2020.
Yeah.
That's the kind of year it's been.
Mm.
I've only made one.
Yeah. Well, maybe but like you said, the holidays is here.
World.
Yeah. The holidays is here. So we're about to get it on. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what's up, yo. So listen, so tell the audience, you know, how did you guys meet? How long you guys been together? Tell us about the mingles. How did you guys mingle?
Ladies first.
Wow, I knew you were going to do that.
I mean, I could do it.
It's
but,
okay.
You know, okay.
I appreciate right, it. Look, okay. We met at Drexel University.
DU?
Okay. In 2002. I always get the year wrong. 2003. Okay. 2003. But Nick was actually a student at Temple University at the time.
TU?
No. And he, we were both a part of a fashion group, and we were putting on a fashion show on campus. And the coordinator happened to pair us together. I was very intimidated by Nick.
I'm glad to do it.
Listen, Let me tell you, I was looking at him like, why am I paired with him? He was so outgoing. I was much more of an introvert at the time. But the coordinator paired us together. He was very honest. He was not pressed. He did not present himself like there was an ulterior motive that he had. He was just interested in being my friend. And I was sold probably after a month and a half of being around him, talking to him. When I say I was sold on, okay, this young man, he has a little bit something different than the other guys that I had come across or that I had dated in the past. And so
there it is.
So like she said, we met at the fashion show, and she I always tell her that she was more than meets the eye, you know, and I could tell that out the gate that there was a lot more to her than just what you saw. Mm-hmm. And then I was blessed by the privilege of hearing her sing. Mm. When I tell you, you know, she's very modest about it, but she could sing. And awesome. I mean, she taught both of my daughters how to sing, you know, so, you know, she blew me away. And then when I got to spend time to know her, you know, I found out she's a preacher's kid. I was like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. You know, I might be in trouble because, you know, I ain't know the word yet.
Where the PK's at now?
You're right. You know, I wasn't saved in my younger days, you know. But
shout out to all the preachers' kids. Y'all know what it is?
Listen, you know, I came from the hood, so I didn't know much about, you know, going to the church. But, you know, spending time with her, you know, she definitely threw the word on me, you know. And, you know, she definitely helped me on my journey. You know, to say the least. I think what, so 2003 we met, 2005 I finally got saved. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was one of the greatest things. But I tell you, when they talk about preaching the word to somebody, she just would not let up on the word. You know what I'm saying? But honestly, I appreciate it because I don't know that I would be here today without her. Amen. And a couple of other people, you know, kind of pushing me along, and then God, you know, sprinkling his Jesus, you know, love on me. So it's been a blessing ever since 2003. You know, we've been riding together. You know, there's a couple of slip ups here and there. You know, it ain't the greatest fairy tale story. You know, there's a couple of slip ups, and I'm saying a couple of slip ups because you know, it was your boy over here. You know, trying to get himself straight a little bit. You know, but once I realized that I had my queen, I made that decision, and then we got married in 2006, and we've been rolling ever since.
Wow. So you guys been together, what, 17 years?
17 years, yeah.
17
been married
years.
For 14 years.
Yeah.
Married for 14 years, together for 17 years. 17 years is a long time, man. Yeah. Like, you know, like some people don't even make it past 5. Right. You know? So what advice do you guys give, you know, being that you got, you know, 17 years in the game, you know, just from a longevity standpoint, you know, what kind of advice can you give to that young couple that's, you know, in your position, that was in your position, you know, right now, that's there right now?
That's a lot of advice, or I'll say a lot of counsel.
Like, as far as, like, the beginning, like, you know, what would you...
Well, I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah. When you're starting your journey, you know, even at the stage of courtship, I think what's important to know is that you really don't know what you're getting yourself into. When it comes to marriage, you know, there are so many ideals and so many models, different models that you can look to. But it really does depend on the kind of person that you are going to commit yourself to and what you want your marriage to look like.
Right.
You know, you have to kind of decide, what do I want my marriage to look like? You know, Nick and I talk about, you know, planning with the goal in mind. What do you want this thing to look like 2 years in, 3 years in? And you have to constantly talk and have conversations, because sometimes your goals change.
Yes.
Sometimes your expectations are unmet, therefore your goals are shifted a little bit. But being so young, and we were young, I was fresh. I was a year out of college. I was so young when we got married. And I came from a background where both of my parents were married, still married. You're talking 45, 46 years they have been married. Mm-hmm. And so I came from a mold where I saw marriage and I was raised with marriage in my mind, and it was, you know, pushed and encouraged, but it looks different when you're married, you know, mm-hmm. and as a child, you don't know what goes on in a marriage. So one of the things that I would encourage a young couple is to understand that you're not, it's okay to not really know, but have an idea of what you would like, what you desire your marriage to look like, and be very honest and be very clear and be very transparent, so that your partner, your spouse or your fiance knows, can make an informed decision as well, because it is a decision. Every day, it is a decision. Nice. It is a decision to love. It is a decision to sacrifice. It is a decision to compromise. It is a decision. And marriage from day one is a decision.
Yes, it's a choice.
And I mean, you know, even when you're starting out in a relationship, you know, to kind of deal with what you were talking about, I think there's levels to it, right? So, right. you know, again, in that idea of helping people along, I would say the first thing is communication. Everything from the very beginning always starts with communication. You know, when we first met, you know, I had to be honest with Easton that there was somebody else that was in my life and I wasn't really sure where things were with that. You know, I didn't hide that and then try to play the field and play both. No, like I put it out on the table and gave her an opportunity to make a decision about, all right, am I going to let him figure it out or am I done with this and am I out? Right. Mm-hmm. And along the way, we've constantly had that where it's like, listen, at the end of the day, we got to come and sit at the table and we got to talk. Not talking never helps anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The minute you decide that you're not going to talk, you start building walls in whatever kind of relationship you want to have. But if you keep those lines of communication there, you'll always have an opportunity to come back whenever you need to. You know, the second thing I would say is, you know, clarity. Mm-hmm. Be clear about what's going on. Ladies, every single lady that's out there, I got two daughters. I'm telling y'all right now, mm-hmm. be clear about what's going on. Kenny's laughing.
Yes.
You already
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be clear Super about clear. Right. You know, get clarity with whoever it is that you're dealing with as to what is this? Because there are fellas out there who are just looking to get some booty. Once mm-hmm. they get it, either right. they're going to keep coming back or they're going to move on to the next one. Yeah. Right. Because there's no booty like new booty. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Then there are gentlemen out there who are actually looking for somebody that they can have a life partner with, you know? Right. And so you want to get that clarity. Who is it that you're dealing with? Are you dealing with the booty or the life partner? And then be honest with yourself, ladies, you know, What you trying to do? You know, because right. every woman out here ain't really trying to get married, right. you know, with the first dude that they meet. Mm-hmm. So you got to be honest as well, because some fellas get caught out there. They're like, oh, I'll give you the world. And the girl's like, don't really know that I want that from you. You know, and wow. then fellas get yeah. caught and they're confused, right? And then the last thing I would say is commitment. You know, commit. For some reason, I don't know why people have such a hard problem with that. You know, your commitment mm-hmm. today doesn't mean that it has to be long term if it ain't working.
Right.
But if you decide that you're going to try, commit to trying. Don't give up at the first sign of difficulty. Because yeah. if you do, where are you going to end up? Because any relationship that you're in is going to be difficult.
That's right.
You know, you have difficulty with your parents. You have difficulty with your siblings. You have difficulties with your children. You have difficulty at your job. Your relationship is not going to be any different. But if you commit, you know, so if you get clarity, you communicate and you commit, you should be all right. If not, it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think before you go, babe, I think like, you know, the transparency on what you just displayed there is one of the most important things. Right. And my question would be, and then babe, you can go after this, like how important is that transparency? Like from a male's perspective, right? Because a lot of times, you know, us males, you know, we like to hide our feelings. We like to hide, you know, how we really feel and stuff because we're taught to be super macho, right? Or we're seeing what, you know, for those that grow up in the hood or whatever, we see what's done in hip hop and we try to mimic that, right? And but then when we get with a female, it's like we're hiding these things, but you know, the Bible says that all things are going to come to light, right? So how important, if you're speaking to the men right now, you know, and both of you guys can speak on this, if you're speaking to the men right now, in your opinion, how important is that transparency, like, you know, in the very beginning versus, you know, that turmoil that could come in a year, 2 years down the line?
Right.
I mean, I would say, you know, clarity and transparency comes over time, right? Mm-hmm. So be honest about where you are. You know, when you first meet a female, you know, you guys are not going to all of a sudden figure out, are we moving in together? You know what I mean? So you got to be honest about who you are. You know, if you're a closed off individual, let her know, listen, I got trust issues. You know what I'm saying? If you're a very open individual, you got to let them know, like, listen, I'm the kind of person, we need to talk. We need to communicate. You know, if I don't hear from you for 24 hours, I'm going to be wondering, are we together? Are we not? You know, be honest about who you are. I think a lot of times people are so worried about trying to appear a certain way that they don't show people who they really are. So that person can then say, I like you. I want to be with you. Instead, they want everybody to like them. Everybody's not going to like you. You know, I had to learn that. Yeah, growing up in the hood, everybody ain't going to like you. Mm-hmm. And guess what? That's okay. You know what I'm saying? I'm loud. I'm boisterous. I'm, you know, Josie laughing. Yeah, we come from the same club, homegirl.
You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking it. I'm like, yo, that's me. Check, that's me.
You know, but you got to be you. You got to be honest. Be yourself and then let people see that. And then if they like it, cool. But when you try to change who you are to try to mimic and act like you're somebody that you're not, at the end of the day, like you said, the truth is going to come out.
It's going to come out.
It's always going to come out because you're going to hit that moment when you're driving in the car. You're going to hit that moment when you're at a restaurant, right? We were at a restaurant trying to have a meal on our first date.
And for the record, he had told me who he was beforehand. I just had not seen him in action, if that makes sense. You
know? Nick
was transparent from the door. This is who I am. This is what I'm about. He was less interested in trying to appeal to me. That wasn't his objective. Because when people try to appeal to you, oftentimes they want something from you. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't trying to do that. He was just, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And to his point, yes, we were on our first date. I mean, first date. And there was another couple that was sitting. Was it right next to us? They weren't too far from us.
Right next to us. So we went to, I ain't gonna say the name of the restaurant, we went to a restaurant first time. I'm here like, oh, I got a shorty. I'm taking it out. We gonna have a good time. We chilling or whatever the case is. And I'm from New York.
I'm not.
I love y'all Philly dudes, but every now and then it just
I'm straight out of Jersey. Don't do that.
So we sitting there having a good old time, and then I don't remember exactly what happened, but something happened where the dude or his female was looking over at our table. And again, I'm from New York. You look once, twice, third time, I'm wondering, like, what's going on, right? So I look over like, yo, what's up? Because now I'm thinking, yo, is there a problem? Do I got to protect this female that I'm with first time? Like, you know, I ain't going to be no punk. Like, nah, this ain't.
right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So I look over and dude is like, what you looking at? And I'm like, you keep staring over here. Is there something that you need? So he's like, yo, who you think you're talking to? And I'm like, so I told her, I was like, look, I'm sorry, but this has to happen. And so, you know, we got into a bit of a discussion. Nothing went further than that. You know what I'm saying? But I told her from the door, like, listen, I don't really tolerate disrespect in any way, shape, or form. And in that moment, it started going out of, you know, started going left a little bit. And I had to just be honest with her. And she told me, she was like, look, I don't like dudes fighting. I don't like dudes that get into all that rah-rah. And I was like, all right, I understand. But at the same token,
but you know, I did say, I appreciate a man that can, you know, throw them bows when it comes down to it. I did, you know, because, I mean, you don't want to, the reality is, I think, I came from New Jersey. I'm straight out of the suburbs of New Jersey. And I didn't know a lot about the city, about Philadelphia. I was, my second year in school. And there was something, I was nervous and I was concerned, but just because of the way that Nick presented himself, he had not shown me something different, contrary than what he had told me. So everything had lined up, even at the point where we were at dinner. And so there was a certain degree of safety and security that I had with him, to the point where if he was like, listen, he grabbed me by the hand. He said, we need to leave before something goes all the way south. So he grabbed me by the hand, first date, grabbed me by the hand, and we rushed out of the restaurant, and he kept looking behind like, yo, you stay on this side. I mean, he was in straight protection mode, and I had an appreciation for that. Granted, I wasn't trying to see, you know, fisticuffs, but I did appreciate that.
So yes, I mean, I think it's just...
You sound like me, Nick. That's all my personality.
Listen, it's all real.
That's BC. That's BC, right? Before Christ.
Listen, it was before Christ, but you know, I'm on the Jesus side of turning over tables, you know. So you know,
There you go.
I feel you.
Okay, Peter. You
know, right. I got to protect my father's house. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. But I mean, that's really just what it comes down to. I think, you know, if you're honest about who you are, and when she told me that she didn't like somebody that, you know, was getting crazy and things like that, I had to process that and make sure that even while I wanted to protect her, I had to be mindful of the fact that she didn't like that. So yeah. I had to try to pick my battles where it's not like, you know, she's not like, yo, you swing, I'm swinging next. She's like, yo, you swing, I'm gonna need you to, you know, think a couple of times, you know, and then, you know, I'm gonna find what I can find. So I was kind of like, all right, so that means I gotta think about her before my ego. I gotta think about her before, you know, I'm like, you know, ready, set, go, you know, and think about that. And so being honest with each other about that, she had an appreciation for who I was, I had an appreciation for who she was, and then we figured out how we worked that together.
Wow. Right. That sounds like us when, you know, when we got into our relationship, we came in with a lot of stuff, honestly. Mm-hmm. I came in with so much baggage. I came in with so much hurt. And I let Kenny know, you know, he knew from the very beginning, like, I'm broken. I am here and I'm broken. And honestly, we happened more on a natural because we didn't plan to be together. He was just my daughter's dance teacher, and we just started hanging out as friends, and it just went from there. And I told him from the very, very beginning, I'm broken, I'm hurt from, you know, my past relationship, I have trust issues, and thank God I had someone who was, at the time, not really like the godly man that he is right now, but he had that sweet soul to him, and I'm so grateful that I got him, because honestly, I look back and I'm like, if it was another dude, they would not have put up with the crap that I came into this relationship with, honestly. They would have been like, you got too many issues, you got too much baggage, you're making me pay for what the person, you know, before me did to you. And he was not like that at all. He was very patient, so kind, and honestly just like helped me heal through whatever I was going through. The trust issues, I think, was the worst thing. And honestly, we got through it together, and it took some time, but I'm so grateful for a patient man, because I'm not even patient. So I try to flip the roles. And honestly, if it was, you know, him coming in with all that, and I probably would be like, listen, I can't no more. Like, we're done. It was tough.
Did you guys have any like type of trust issues in your relationship, or any type of like, you know, impatience with each other in the younger days?
Yes. Yes. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So, oh man. He told you that at the onset of our courtship, that he told me that he was dealing with someone else. And while I appreciated that, I did not know to the extent that they were dealing with each other. I kind of found out progressively. And so since it was not, you know, completely, I mean, I think he was as transparent as he said, you know, being transparent, there's a journey to that, you know what I'm saying? Because he didn't really know me like that. And he didn't know what I would do with the information that he gave me, you know, to try to injure him or to try to hurt him. So he had to be selective. And I understand that, you know, now looking back, I get it. But at the time, he was not, you know, as forthright as I would have preferred him to be in terms of the depth of this other relationship that he was contending with. And so that definitely created some trust issues for me, because I will do something I have no business doing and tell on myself. That's the kind of person that I am. You know, I do not do the lying. I don't do the deceit. They are very close related. You could say, well, I didn't lie. Yeah, but you didn't tell me the whole truth. So you tried to deceive me. So either way, that's not the game that I play. And so not that he was playing that game, but that's how I felt, you know what I'm saying? And so when it came up that there was someone else, and I didn't really know what the details were, and, you know, she kept popping up here and there and everywhere, and it was, oh no, we just friends. And then she directed her disappointment, I'm being nice about it, her disappointment about the fragmentation of their relationship toward me personally. And it was a very difficult space in our relationship. Honestly, I have to tell you, if not for really and truly, if not for the grace of God intercepting even at that point, mm-hmm. because of the compounding of it, because it wasn't just in the beginning. It was all throughout the first year, all throughout the second year. It wasn't until we got engaged that mm-hmm. that issue was put to bed. Mm-hmm. And that's the God honest truth. I mean, wow. it was so compounding, and it had the potential to really destroy the foundation. It had already put a crack in the foundation of our relationship because I did not trust him. And that's the truth. And he would always say to me, if you don't trust me, then why are you with me? But I knew that I wanted to be with him. As a matter of fact, I knew that he was the person that I was to be with. I just didn't understand how. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how it would work because of how I felt. And it was every bit of until we got engaged. Wow. Every bit until he bought the ring. It was up until that point where I was just like, bro.
That's when Nick was like, bye, Felicia.
Listen.
And the reality is I didn't see it. You know what I'm saying? Like when we talk about a lot of things, you know, I'm a dude. Like I'm a dude's dude. Like if it ain't in front of me, I don't really see it. So my thing was like, yo, I saw it my way, but she saw it a different way. And I was just kind of like, yo, I don't see it that way. So, you know, like, all right, you're going to have to deal. You know, it wasn't the best way to deal with it, but that's what I said. And that's how it was. And it wasn't until, like she said, I mean, 2 years into our relationship, ups and downs back and forth, before like the light bulb went off in my head that, all right, there's a problem here. I got to put it to bed, you know, to the point where, like she said, it was like up until we got engaged. It was like, yo, like, are we really going to move forward? And this is still hanging out there. And I was like, nah, you know, I was like, yeah, I got to make a better decision because I can't tell this, you know, young lady that I want to marry her. And then there's still this issue out there that is causing her to not trust me, because if she's not trusting me, it isn't that she just came up and said, you know what? I like you, but I don't want to trust you. Like, that's not how it started. It was based on something that I did. And I had to humble myself enough to realize that and say, all right, well, if I want this to work, I got to put that to bed, you know? Right. And I think once I did that, honestly, like things got so much better,
right?
You know, where it was almost like, you know, like she was saying earlier, we were getting ready to get married, probably not in the best place,
right?
You know, to be getting married based on all of that hanging out there. But thankfully we were able to put it to bed and address it before we got married, because that in and of itself, like she said, was a horrible foundation and probably would have led to divorce in the first year.
Right. Wow. That's the truth, because it had lingering effects. You know, I carried that into our marriage. I did. And I would, you know, being 100% honest, I didn't drop that baggage, and I did have to decide to drop it, because if I'm going to say I trust him, we're married. We got a whole child, you know, because we had Cadence within our first year. We got a whole baby. We got a whole house. If at this point I don't trust this man, then what am I doing? So I had to make a decision to drop it and leave it and never pick it up again. Yes, did it leave some residue? And he also gave me space to, okay, E, you going back there. You're right. I'm going back there. I'm still wrestling. I did leave it. So he would give me, when I say give me space, he would give me space to look back, not like, you know, Lot's wife where she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt, not like that. Right. But I did, you know, kind of glance back depending upon what we were dealing with in the moment. If there was a trigger that occurred, and he gave me the space to look back, but I was not going to go back and bring that garbage and bring that baggage into the present, because I had to let it go.
Amen.
So it wasn't really anything that was going on at that moment. It was just your mind was still stuck back there.
Correct.
That's good, because I feel like a lot of ladies, and I'm going to say more the ladies, because I feel like we have more of the trust issues, but it could be a man too. But a lot of the women, we don't realize that, and it just puts a damper on a relationship.
Correct.
And like you said, you have to make a choice to want to move forward. Mm-hmm. Not be stuck in the drama, not be stuck back there, because we could all be stuck back there.
Correct.
You have to make a choice to want better, to want a positive relationship, to just want to move forward in general. But a lot of people are stuck in the drama, and that's what we have to realize. They're like, oh, I'm just so tired of this. It's the same thing, blah, blah, blah. But you have to make that choice.
That's right.
Especially if nothing's going on. You're just going back just because you're in your own mind.
That's right. And sometimes, to be quite honest with you, it's easy to go back there because that's where you're comfortable.
Absolutely.
It's easy to go back to that thought process. It's easy to go back to that frame of mind, because that's where you're, that honestly, truth be told, that's where you're comfortable. And we don't really take the time to compartmentalize what is happening so that we are sure that, okay, this is not going back there. This is, you know, this issue that we're dealing right now is not related to that. All trust issues are not related to the same trust issue. Right. You know what I'm saying? So yes, you might, you know, there might've been another woman or not another girl, but let's try to compartmentalize these things. Otherwise, they get compounded. But I'll be honest with you, Josie, I agree. I think a lot of women function and dysfunction, let me be clear, function and dysfunction in spaces, people, women, men, both, dysfunction in places of the past. Yes. If it happened and there's nothing that you can do about it, I'm not telling you to, you know, just get over it. I would never say that. But if it is resolved, stop going back.
Yes.
Yeah. Stop bringing a dead corpse into the life of your marriage. Yes. Because all you're doing is stinking up the life of your marriage with the stench of the dead corpse. Stop doing it.
That's so good.
Man, I gotta get my sound effects back. That was just some bombs right there.
That was so good.
And I think another point which, you know, Easter made, and I think Josie, you made, is, you know, I think a lot of men have to learn how to give women space to express their emotions. Because like you said, Kenny, unfortunately, a lot of young men are taught, bottle it up, you know, keep it tight. Just don't express it. Don't. So now when they have a woman who's taught differently to express their feelings, express their emotions, now everything turns into, you're being emotional. Yeah. Stop being emotional. As opposed to, yo, you know what? She's got things that she's feeling. It's okay to feel them.
Let us let it out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We're going to burst and it's going to be worse.
Right.
You know, the funny thing about it is, honestly, a lot of times when something is going on, the best time for us to resolve it is when I push for her to get it out. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times I say, look, we already know if you don't get it out, it's going to keep cycling. It's going to keep going. Right. And, you know, I'm not stealing anybody's, you know, thunder or anything like that, but something that we learned a long time ago when we were going through marriage counseling, that a lot of guys are like waffles, right? You can pour syrup on one section and it'll stay in that one section that you poured it in, right?
Because the little squares.
Because they're all little squares, right? And they know how to compartmentalize and everything else like that. So until you pour syrup in that other section, or you pour syrup in one area to the point where it overflows, that's how guys are. What I got dealing with at work, I can take that drive home, that walk home, cut it off at work, come home, and then do what I got to do. Only some instances does that work stuff spill over into home, right? But women function differently. Women are like spaghetti. You can touch a piece that's very clean, and as you start to pull it out, you start realizing that there's, you know, red sauce on it, right? And there's some green peppers and some onions on it and everything else. By the time you pull it out, you like, dang, I thought I was getting me a clean piece of noodle. Come to find out, it's all these things, and it's all wrapped up and spiraled up in it. And by the time you try to unpack all of that, you realize that, wow, there's a lot of mess. There's a lot that's in there. So what you got to do is you got to be able to, as a man, give your woman time to be able to say, guess what? Let's try to clean some of those things up. Let me help you to get some of those things resolved, get some of those issues. Because Josie said it, had it been any other guy, it probably wouldn't have worked out. But you giving her that time, you giving her that space, you giving her that opportunity to be vulnerable with you, and then to help her get through those things. Me sitting here realizing, look, I did it. I messed up. I screwed it up. So yeah, there's history there. But guess what? I got to give her time. I can't say, look, that was last week. We're going to keep talking about last week? Yeah, we're going to talk about last week. Because last week might take you three more years to, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, and so that's that aspect of like, give it time and allow that. And I think when men learn that, you know, when women learn it in a relationship, to be able to say, again, that idea of that communication, that's where it comes in. If we're going to communicate, we're going to talk. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and we're going to figure out where are we going from here. We can't stay stuck there.
Correct.
But at the same token, we got to be able to talk about it. We can't act like, look, we did it, it's done. You know, we swept it under the rug, move on, because it ain't going nowhere. And like Easton said, that stench, you know what I'm saying? It grows and it stinks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when it starts to really decay in your relationship and decay in your marriage, again, how long can you cover it up before it starts to stink and destroy everything that you have going on? You know?
Amen. So tell us a little bit about the marriage checkup. What's that? What's that all about?
So honestly, the reality of it is, you know, Easton and I sat back and we were looking as we were, you know, starting our journey, and we heard about different marriages. Some people that we got married with around the same time, a year later, marriage is done, mm-hmm. right? You know, when you check the statistics of divorce, you know, in a country across the globe, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the numbers are horrific, right?
Right.
We heard about not just people a year in, we heard about people 10 years in. Mm-hmm. We heard about, I think the worst one that we heard was what, 30, they were married 30 something years, mm-hmm. right? And after 30 something years, the man was like, I've been living a lie. Like, I'm good, I'm done. Mm-hmm. You know, because it just, it ain't been working for the past 20 something years and I was just riding it out. You know, we know other people that are like, look, we just doing this for the kids. As soon as the kids go off to college, forget about it. You know, right. So we thought about that and we said, well, what's that about? Well, that's like, you know, when you don't go to the doctor, right, to get your tooth checked out. And then you find out that you got a cavity and then only find out you got four cavities, five cavities. Why? Guess what? You never went to go get that taken care of, right? When you find out you got high blood pressure, you know, because you haven't been eating the things that you needed to do. So we thought about that. And then we started getting into, you know, people asking us, well, how are y'all doing it? Cause y'all got married young. How are y'all doing it? Cause y'all still together this, you know, even people that, like we said, got divorced, who we got married around the same time. They're like, well, how are y'all still making it? I thought you said she was getting on your nerves. I thought you said that you didn't like what he was doing.
I was getting on his nerves.
And so we realized that the problem is people get married and they don't really follow up. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't really take the time to do the checkup on their marriage to say, hey, where are we? Instead, because, I mean, y'all know, y'all got kids, right?
Yes.
Working every day and things like that. Things can get monotonous. And before you realize, you're like, yo, you know, when's the last time?
Right.
When's the last time we went on a date?
Right.
When's the last time, you know?
And that's a good point, because, like, there will be symptoms. Just like you, sometimes you can go to the doctors just for, you know, your annual checkup and ain't nothing happening and they'll find something, right? Mm. But then sometimes throughout, you know, your life, you'll feel, especially the older you get, Lord help us, the older you get, you find aches and pains. And like Nick said, a tooth is going on. You might think you just have a cavity when you have a whole abscess, stuff like that. So if you don't go get those things checked out, you are doing more detriment to yourself. Likewise, there's always something in your marriage. Not that there's always a problem, but there's always something that you can get better at. And that's also what the marriage checkup is about. There's always a more effective way to communicate. There's always a better way that you could be a listener. There's always something better that you can do. If not, there's probably more than likely a problem that you did not address, that you did not discuss, that you've been burying under other stuff. And so the marriage checkup serves that purpose. Okay, where y'all at?
Right.
And be honest.
Right.
And do y'all even know where y'all at? Because a lot of times people in their marriage, they don't even know where they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're just going day by day doing what they do. You know what I'm saying? Like Nick said, it's very monotonous. And especially when you throw kids up in there and you throw school up in there and work and careers and all that, where are you in your marriage? Because your marriage is what is essential to your family.
Right.
Your marriage. And it's not just the sake that of, you know, not just for the sake of being married. It is, what is the health status of your marriage? Do you know what I'm saying? So the health, the marriage checkup is to kind of give that assessment and really to help couples be honest to see where they are in their marriage. And, you know, we try to give them insight as best as we can.
That's dope. That's dope. So do couples come to you guys, or is it like are you guys developing a course for it, or is it right now like more of a counseling session?
Yeah.
Or group?
So we try to keep it individual. So we do have people that come to us, or, you know, right now with COVID, we do virtual, where the objective really is to find out where they are. And, you know, we do a lot of listening. We do a lot of observing, you know, because we all have idiosyncrasies, right? And we all have the ways in which we kind of flow. There's a structure and a flow to everybody's marriage. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we pay attention to that. And then we try to look at, okay, where are the pluses and the negatives, right? Because there are some things that in a marriage that you can praise that are great, right? But what happens is, you know, Issa and I were talking about this the other day, just in general in life, if you watch the news, how many good stories do you hear?
Right.
Right. You know, when you watch sports, everybody wants to focus on the negative that somebody did. You know, how often do we praise the positive? You know, so sometimes we help people take a look at that to say there are positive things that are happening in your marriage. Because generally, again, when people get a divorce, it's because everyone's looking at it like there's just negative. Everything is just wrong. When it's like everything's not wrong, that's just what you're focused on.
Yes,
right.
You know.
Yes, yes,
and right. So what we do is we try to do a more individual because you know what we noticed is people maybe are not as transparent when they're in a group. Because again, yes. You get that aspect of I want to kind of put on a face. I want to kind of you know. Mm-hmm. And some people just don't have the tolerance to be able to sit and listen to people. So somebody will even cut somebody else off rather than letting them go through what they need to go through to be able to express what they're really feeling in their marriage. Right. You know?
That's awesome. Yeah,
no, I agree. No, that's what we do.
That's dope.
Wait a minute. You know, we referrals, people say, hey, listen, we need some help. All right. And that's what we aim to do. That's our goal. It's never to expose and it's never to even validate somebody's position on whether or not they feel like they should stay married or get divorced. Like, we don't do that. Like, it's honestly, at the end of the day, it's not our call. We can let you know and we can give you what our belief is based on the truth of God's word, based on our experience. But at the end of the day, the decision that you make is really between you, your spouse, and the Lord.
That's right.
I make that point because sometimes we have had couples come to us because they already had made up their mind what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, tried to position us based on our counsel to validate their already made decision, their pre-made decision. We're not here for that.
Yeah.
We are here to let you know that in most cases, out of all the cases that we've seen, I want to say 100% of them have been salvageable. It's a matter of decision. And one of the biggest issues that we see in marriage, in addition to the communication aspect and the transparency aspect, is submission. Mm-hmm. And not about like, oh, wife, submit to me because you are subservient. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being willing to submit to each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is one of the biggest issues that we see, in addition to just poor communication practices and a lack of transparency. Mm-hmm. So a lot of couples, we try to let them know from the gate, we're not here to tell you whether or not you should stay married or get a divorce. That's not what we're going to be doing here. We're going to try to give you an honest assessment about what we see, what we hear, what we don't see, because there's also aspects of what you don't see.
Yes.
You know, like, okay, what happens behind closed doors that is oftentimes illuminated to you by people's nonverbal communication and stuff like that, how they sit, all of that. And I want to say that I think I enjoy it.
Yeah. And honestly, it's biblically. No, go ahead, Kenny.
I was going to say, how successful have you guys been with, you know, some of these couples? Like, what's the result that you guys have been seeing?
Yeah.
So this is going to sound cliche-ish, but I think, honestly, I would say that I think we've been 100% successful. Doesn't mean that everybody stayed married.
Good.
Right. I think I say we're 100% successful because I think people have come out of the sessions admitting that, oh yeah, I didn't see that. You know, oh, dad, you know what? I didn't realize that, you know, and then have come back to us and have said, you know, we didn't really try to do what you said.
Right.
So that's why this didn't really work, you know?
Yes.
And then we've had other people who have said, listen, glad you talked to us before we even decided to take this journey, because we've set ourselves on this path and it's been so helpful. And, you know, we just recently had this thing and we saw ourselves slipping in this way and we were able to hit the pause button and kind of get back together. So, you know, it's successful in that way, in that no one's ever come to us and said, hey, we've tried what you said and it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, we've listened to you and we've studied it and we've actually taken the steps that you've told us and it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, it's either people admit we didn't take the steps or they say, you know what? Yeah, you told us not to do this, but we completely violated that rule because I just couldn't contain myself. And I had to tell her this, you know, or I had to say this to him. And the minute I said it, your words came in my head and I knew it was going to happen. And this happened and I shouldn't have did it, but I had to. And it's like.
And those are generally the couples that kind of come in with their minds already made up.
Right.
I feel like if your mind is already made up, then why even waste your time to even go and get the counseling if you already know that no matter what these counselors are going to say, y'all going to do what y'all want to do regardless. You know what I mean? Because I feel like the tools that you guys are giving, if people act on it, and made a decision, like, whatever tools they give us, we're going to just agree to whatever tools we get, let's work on them. But I feel like they go already, like, no matter what they say, we still going, what, so why?
Right, that's right.
In my time, you know?
Honestly, I agree with you. It does definitely seem like a waste of time, but I do think that a lot of couples want someone else to validate their decision.
Yeah, so they can feel a little bit better about it. Sign off on it.
Right, exactly. And that's not what we, first of all, we don't have that authority. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want that responsibility. I'm good. Yes. Listen, I got my own husband to make a decision about every day. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to make a decision for you, for your husband. I'm not doing it.
Marriage points every single day.
Every day.
Right. And the funny thing about it is, you know, we've seen where, like, you see the resistance, right? Even though people hear some of what we offer and they try it and it works. And it's almost just like, because of exactly what you said, Josie, because their mind has been made up, it's almost like, wait a minute. No, this isn't going the way that I wanted it to. Right. Like, I wanted to be able to say, right. Yes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't supposed to work. And it's almost like, wow, like, you know, we're communicating better. Hey, we're, and it's almost like they actively put that. So then at that point, again, they sabotage it, right?
Right.
So that's why I said, for me, I look at it and I'm like, it is 100% because it's working, but you're making the decision that you really didn't come into this wanting to try in the first place. And that's why it comes back to be transparent, be honest. If you came into it to get a divorce, say that out the gate.
Right.
Because again, the best that we can do is just give you godly counsel and go about, you know, our business, you know, that's the other thing about it is we come from a godly perspective where we understand all we can do is plant the seed.
Right.
Yes.
We can't do anything else to make it grow and make it go where it needs to without God. So the best that we can do is plant the seed. And once we do that, like Easton said, it's you, your spouse, and God. It isn't Easton and Nick and then, no, it's you, your spouse, and God. Mm-hmm. We are here as his vessels to be used by him to get to you what maybe you were not getting when he was trying to get it to you.
Yes.
But once we do our job, we step out the way, and it's between you and God. So if you're not doing what you need to do, you're not hurting Easton and Nick. Right. That's you and God that are going to have to, you're going to have to answer to him about the vows that you took that you are now doing something other than honoring.
That's right.
Right. Y'all up in here mingling with they plans. I'm messing it all up.
Listen, just trying to do God's work, man. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah,
that's dope, though. You know, in like the divorce rate right now is like at 50% in America, right? And there are so many, you know, people out there that are broken, that are just hurt. They don't know which way to go. Like, I get messages all the time from, you know, people. Like, I think one of the craziest stories that I got was there was a mother who, she was upset at the fact that her husband left because their daughter came out with a deformed head. So her head was deformed.
Okay.
And she had brain issues when she came out. And this man said, I don't make babies like that. That's not my kid. But she loves them so much, and she wants to make it work. But we have those men out there that say some of these, you know, horrible things, right? And I believe that many times it's probably due to, maybe it's a generational thing, right? Maybe it's something that society has shaped in something that they just automatically take on, and they take on that type of behavior, that attitude, something like messes with their psyche at some point. Because if we're being honest, nobody comes out like that.
Yeah.
Like, nobody is born with that type of hate in their heart. So at some point in life, you develop that. Have you guys ever heard, had a couple where it was super, super toxic? Like, the man or the woman was just saying like some really raunchy things. And how do you guys, you know, fix that?
Mm. So the benefit of our counseling is it is the two of us, right? And like the four of us are talking right now, there are some things that unfortunately only a man can say to another man,
right?
Likewise, there are also some things that only a woman can say to another woman, you know, and that is what we deal with, you know? And so, yes, there are times that I've had to look a man straight in the eyes and tell him that he is letting down his family. Mm. You know, that he is disappointing God in what God has assigned him to do.
Wow.
You know, there are times that I've had to tell a man that you claim that this is your queen, mm-hmm. but you are treating her like a slave.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, like I've had to like put that out there in people's faces for them to see, because she has been trying to say it, but he hasn't been hearing it, you know? And so now when you have somebody else saying it, who is, for lack of a better term, on the same level with you, now you have to take an honest look at it, because you can't hide behind, well, you're just a woman, you don't understand.
Right.
You know, and so I engage a lot of men in that aspect of, again, be the godly man that God has called you to be. That's tough, you know?
Are a lot of the, you know, the couples that come to you guys, are they believers, non-believers, a mixture of both? Because, like, if you're giving godly advice, if you have a non-believer, how are they receiving that if they don't know the word?
You're right. It is most of the couples that we have counseled have been, I'll say, professing believers, but there's a difference between saying I believe and then living according to, right? Okay, right. So, you know, that most of them have been somewhere on that spectrum. And to your point, it is very challenging to deliver a principle and say that it is a biblical principle, because that's the authority that you use, yes, to somebody who is an unbeliever. So in the instances where we have, which haven't been many, where we have had, you know, professing unbelievers, the principle still stands. Do you know what I'm saying? And I, you know, Nick and I are not, you know, we won't have a word in front of you. No, that's not what we do. We present ourselves so that you know who we are, what we are about, and who we present. And we also shape the principle so that you know this is a principle whether you are a believer or not. It is a principle. Now, it just gives extra weight because it is the authority of God's word.
Yeah.
But it is a challenge because people, but you'd be surprised, girl, there are some believers that still reject what we say because they're just not at that maturity, that spiritual maturity, right, to be able to receive the fact that, listen, bro, you are not, the Bible calls you it's not a scoundrel, it's another word, like almost like you are like below level when you are a man and you do not take care of your family. Yes. There's a scripture that Paul writes in one of his epistles, and he says, listen, if you don't take care of your family, what are you doing?
Right.
What are you doing? And so to Nick's point, he has had to sit eyeball to eyeball. But back to your question, like it is challenging to minister to those who don't want to be ministered to, who don't really receive and recognize the final authority as being the Bible. But still being effective at what we do means we use the principle, because the principle still stands. You know, about, like, for example, every faith has the golden rule, right? You treat others the way you treat. Well, that is a biblical principle. It came straight out of God's word. So we can use that principle because it is a principle.
Right.
Like other principles that we might use, or that
I mean, even just the institution of marriage. The institution of marriage is a biblical principle, you know.
Right.
So whatever your thoughts and your ideas even are about marriage, there's going to be some biblical principle in there. But at the same token, like Easton said, you know, you're not coming in and we're smacking you with Genesis to Revelations,
right,
you know, up and down, back and forth,
right,
you know,
yes.
You know, again, it's before I was a believer.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's it. You know,
future marriages.
Correct. And the way that you present yourself, I tell people this all the time, with Jesus's example, you know, when he was here on the earth during his ministry, he did not have a big sign that said, I am Jesus. No, he let the people know by what he was doing, how he was talking to people. He sat with the publicans.
Right.
He talked to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. You know what I'm saying? Like he did not wave the banner and say, I am Jesus the Christ. You need to know who I am, bow down and worship me. That was not the way that his ministry presented itself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So as following that example, we don't got to do all that. You're going to be able to know and discern the angle that we're coming from. And should you ask the question, we are prepared to tell you, yes, we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we subscribe to the word in the 66 books. You know what I'm saying? So,
amen.
And I just want to point out real quick. She said, Jesus, the Christ, meaning
amen.
Jesus, the anointed one, for those
amen.
That don't know.
That's right.
Amen.
Like Christ is
his last name.
Last name. but Christ means the anointed one. Or the
Amen.
Anointed. Amen.
You know, I just want to throw that out there real quick for those that may have missed it. You know,
you fading a little bit, bro. You fading a little bit. You got to make sure. Look, the devil trying to take your words away. So,
trying to take me out. I just turned the mic. Back.
There you go. Yeah.
Right there.
You can talk about the anointed one now. Yeah.
See, man. Always trying to play me out, man.
Always. I wasn't gonna let that slide.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about. So now, how do people actually get in contact with you to, you know, maybe they want to get a checkup? How do they get a discovery call? Like, how does it work?
So right now, they got the plug through Kenny Clutch Speaks. Go. So you know, right now,
so you email. How about we email Nick Mingle at KennyClutchSpeaks.com? How about we do that?
Oh, correct. Correct. If they email right there, they could definitely reach out. Again, we have no biases in any way, shape, or form. You know, our goal and our purpose is, you know, to help marriages, to help relationships, to help you in pre-marriage, you know, because again, we understand what it's like in that dating scene before you get married. So, you know, our focus and our goal is to help you make that transition, because we believe that marriages, healthy marriages, are, you know, beneficial to the community, beneficial to the country, you know, beneficial for families. You know, I think it's great when kids can look up and they can point to aunt so-and-so or uncle so-and-so and say, yeah, they've been married for however long, like they're the model. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You know, our objective and our goal was never to set out to be the model, but at the same token, we're trying to be the model because God has called us to be a model before our children and our nieces and our nephews and anybody that comes in touch with us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, our objective is really just, if we can, you know, spread a little bit of that love and help out in any ways that you can. You know, I know it's hard out here for young men. I know it's hard out here for young women, you know, and there are so many things that are trying to drive them away from marriage.
Right.
So we want to help you if that's where you're at. You know, if you're working through a relationship and you want to figure out what you need to do in that relationship, how you maneuver it, what happens, you know, let us know. You know, again, like Easton said, our objective is to keep it private, confidential, and to help. That's what we want to do. We want to be able to help in this world. We want to be able to help people to feel better about whatever it is that they have going on and help them to be better after they leave us than when they first met us.
Right. And honestly, I kind of feel like, especially in 2020, a lot of people feel like they are just surviving, right? People are just in straight survival mode. What we don't want people to experience in their marriage is just survival. You should never just feel like I survived my marriage. You should want to thrive in your marriage. You should want to be successful in your marriage. And oftentimes we come into the marriage not with the tools that we need to thrive. So we have learned, not that we didn't come into the marriage with these tools, y'all. Like, that's the truth. We have had to learn.
Learn the hard way.
Shaped and molded and cut and primed and pruned. And it has been painful. It has been scary. It has been disappointing. But it has been worth it because we are thriving. Amen. And we give all glory to God because we know that He's the one that has given us what we need to thrive and to help others thrive. So listen, y'all, if y'all out there, you don't have to just survive in your marriage, nor should you. Your marriage deserves more than just survival. Your children, if you have children, deserve more than just you surviving and making it by in your marriage. Thrive. You can thrive. And I know, listen, God is able. I know that. Yes. He's able. So if God is able, and we are willing, we have to be willing vessels. God is able and we are willing. We good. We in there.
Right.
Yes. Right.
So I want to ask you guys this last question as we're running out of time and everything. Like, this conversation was amazing. With the pandemic and everything that's been going on, the social injustice, you know, everything that has been happening this year, there has been a whirlwind of feelings, emotions. Maybe even some couples have divorced because they were stuck in the house with each other so long that they actually really recognized
who
they really are.
Like, yes.
You're not the person that I met 10 years ago. Who is this?
Right.
You know? And that the pandemic has done that. My question is, and I ask every guest on the show this question. Let's imagine for a second that, you know, the Mingles are speaking to every single couple that's out there in the world right now. Even though there's 7.5 billion people on the planet, everybody doesn't have somebody, right? But let's just imagine that you guys are speaking to every marriage, every engagement, and every, you know, going steady couple, boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, right? We're now in the fourth quarter of 2020. As you can see, I'm painting a picture for you guys so you guys get a visual. In the fourth quarter of 2020, we got a couple weeks left until it's 2021. And maybe their year hasn't been the greatest year ever, right? Because of the distractions from the enemy and all these different things that's been happening. And they're tempted, or they're you know, pushing to go the opposite direction. What do the Mingles say to encourage other couples that are out there right now that are going through? And how do you guys get them through? What do you say to them to get them through this fourth quarter?
I know he's gonna look at me. Look at me the first time.
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, my thing is this. Like Easton was saying, your marriage doesn't have to be miserable. You know, the greatest thing about it is, especially in this fourth quarter of 2020, you're getting to the happiest time and season. You know, there's only one season that's greater, and that's Resurrection Day.
Yes.
You know, you know, second to Resurrection Day, you're talking about, we're about to celebrate the birth of Christ. You got Christmas, Thanksgiving. This is it. If you have not tried to enjoy your family, if you have not tried to enjoy your marriage, take the time to do it. This pandemic, as horrific as it has been, it's given all of us some time to take a step back and be home and watch Disney movies, watch sports together, play games, as opposed to we gotta run here, there, and everywhere. I gotta go here, guess what? I work from home. When my kids wake up in the morning, you know what I say? Pause, everybody. Good morning, kids. I give them a hug, I give them a kiss, because guess what? When I was working in the office, I couldn't do that. Yeah, I was in a board meeting when they were waking up, where they were doing what they had to do with school. My wife wakes up in the morning, we look at each other, little smile, kiss her. Guess what? Before, I had to wake up early, go to work, I call her on the phone, we try to FaceTime or something like that real quick. Now I got close contact.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. Celebrate that. Spend that time. The pandemic can destroy you, or it can give you an opportunity to build.
That's right.
You know, unless you're facing the direct tragedy of it, which you can still overcome as well, mm-hmm. you have to work on building those relationships. I have more time with my daughters. I do one-on-one walks with them outside. I come in. Yo, guess what? We're having a night where we're playing cards. My daughter loves to play spit. She still can't beat me yet. She's trying. It ain't gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? We play Mario Kart. We do all of that. Why? Because this is the time that God has given us to be able to be with each other. So to the point that you made, Kenny, why have some marriages and things falling apart? Because unfortunately, people were hiding, as Easton talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. They were hiding behind so many things that what they were doing is, I got soccer practice with the kids. I got dance practice with the kids. Yeah, I got to go to work. I got this meeting. I got that meeting. All of that gets shut down. Only thing you can do is go to the store, get your groceries, come back home. Guess what?
Right.
She got tired of looking at you. You got tired of looking at her. And it was just like, yo, we can't fake this no more.
Yeah.
Right? So if you are struggling, turn the tide. Take the time to turn the tide. Guess what? Put the kids to bed one night and just have a butt naked, chill in the house night, doing absolutely nothing, but just being butt naked and just, I mean, just do it. Just for no other reason other than just to be able to do it and just chill with each other. Because guess what? You ain't got to wake up tomorrow morning and rush to go do something. Take that time. It ain't got to be all serious all the time, 24/7. Chill, enjoy each other, breathe a little bit, relax, exhale. You know what I'm saying? Give your wife a kiss on the cheek. Lick her face if you want to. She's yours. You're, babe, listen, don't make me do it on camera. You know, but that's just where I'm at with it. Take the time, be passionate about where you're at, and celebrate and enjoy it. Because when it goes away and you got to get back to the running here, then everywhere, then now everybody's going to be saying, babe, if I could just take you out on a dinner date.
Yes.
Man, listen, if you got candles in your home and you got food in your fridge, dinner date is on and popping.
Hello.
All the time.
I agree. Just to, you know, a small piggyback on what Nick was saying. I think the pandemic has shown a light on so much negativity. And now that we are in the fourth quarter, and the reality is, what it has definitely revealed to us is that time does not belong to us.
Yes.
We are all on borrowed time.
Yes.
And so here we are in the fourth quarter, and it is imperative now that we recognize time as our greatest commodity. It is the greatest value that we have. It's not our money. It's not our homes. It's the time that we have with those who we say we love. So just to piggyback on what my husband said, I would encourage everyone to take the time to appreciate, even if it's just the small moments.
Right.
And not just find them, but look for them. Be deliberate about the time that you take. And I understand it's a struggle for people. You might be with a spouse, so you're just like, yo, I can't stand her guts, or I can't stand his guts. I get that. I understand that. But you're still in the house right now, right? Right. So that means you still have time.
Yeah.
You still got time. And I'm telling you, you're not going to know how much time you don't have until you're walking by the casket, until you are at the gravesite. And that is a real thing that we are facing. I mean, I knew that we knew that death was around and death was a very real thing, but death is in our face. It's in our faces. And it's not just death, but it's the loss of jobs and the loss of your livelihood. And honestly, but what we still have is time.
Right.
We still got time. So take the time. Yeah. Make it deliberate to find moments where you are thankful. Turn your complaint into something that is a thankful. When every time you want to complain about something, just try it. Instead of complaining, I'm going to be thankful, because I guarantee you got more things to be thankful for. Yes. More things to be thankful for than to complain about. And it's not because, and I understand there are people that are really, really struggling, and there might be someone listening who's like, man, but you don't know my situation. You don't know how down and out I've been. You're right. I don't know your situation, and I don't know how down and out you have been, but I do know that God is faithful, and he has given us more time. If you're breathing and you're living, he's given you time.
Yes.
So use your time wisely. This is it. For all we know, we may not get into 2021.
That's right.
We don't even know what's about to happen in the next month. You know what I'm saying? So right now we have the time. Use it wisely. It is imperative. Find those small moments. Be deliberate about it. Take the time.
Yeah.
Get that butt neck at night. Remember, okay, butt neck at night. Everybody needs a butt neck at night.
You're absolutely right, Easton. Like, time is your most valuable commodity. And I say this all the time. Like, people complain. It's like people are cursing a year with the same breath that they're blessed with, you know? And it's like, I said the statistic in my last episode that the average person breathes about 23,000 times in a day. And every breath is a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So no man or woman knows the time or the day or
that's right
when the last breath will be.
That's right.
We should be appreciative of the breath that we have.
Yes.
If God is blessing us at bare minimum 23,000 times in one day, that's bigger than your one complaint about whatever it is that's happening. And we only talking about one area. Don't get me started. Like,
right.
We only talking about one area of life, you know, that you're being blessed. So when we say count your blessings, we really mean count your blessings.
That's right.
23,000 times that about how many days you've been living.
Yeah. That's right.
How many blessings you've been getting in one area of your life.
That's right.
So with that being said, guys, it's time to play this game. Y'all ready?
Right, let's do it.
Okay.
I'm a win. Whatever it is, I'm a win. Yeah.
All right. Here we go. So the game is called In the Clutch, and I'm Kenny Clutch. Okay. Now we're kind of doing the like rapid fire type of thing. So the first thing that pops into your head, you give me a name that goes with that letter. So for those that don't know, In the Clutch stands for Inspirational Dancers Creatively Linking Upon the Culture of Hip Hop. INDACLUTCH, Inspirational Dancers Creatively Linking Upon the Culture of Hip Hop. I just may change the name up a little bit, change the acronym up, you know, since that was BC, and I'm right now, you know, with God rocking right now, you know what I'm saying? But just so you guys know, in 2009, we started a company called In the Clutch, and that's what the name stood for. So it goes like this. I'm going to give you guys a letter. and you give me a positive word or a couple word or a marriage word, you know, that goes with that particular letter. Make sense?
Okay. Let's do okay. it.
Here we go. I.
Intimacy.
N.
Nookie.
I'm shocked you ain't say naked.
That's my next answer.
D.
Devoted.
A.
Adoring.
C.
What'd you say, T or D? What'd you
no,
say?
C.
Oh, C. Sorry.
Caring.
L.
Love.
Everybody says that. You.
Understanding.
T.
Trustworthy.
C again.
Conditional or unconditional.
H.
Happy.
That's gonna say hardworking.
Happy. It's okay, there it is. That's clutch. Give it up for the Mingos.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Definitely have you guys back on again for some more marriage advice. Okay. This is not going to be their only time on the show, guys. We are going to have them back on for a part two and possibly a part three or something, maybe even a part four. You know, if you guys want it, come on and get it. If you feel that this has helped your marriage out, Nick, go ahead and give your email as well as the, we got nickmingle@kennyclutchspeaks.com, or they can contact you at
908-910-5728.
Awesome. So guys, listen. You know, make sure you guys, if you guys are looking for, you know, any type of relationship advice or anything like that, the Mingles got the marriage checkup. Make an appointment, get a checkup, and let's get it cracking. All right. Save that marriage.
Yes. Right?
Work on that marriage.
Yes. Let's do it.
You know, we got to work. It's this work, y'all.
Marriage is so
important. It's work. It's a marathon or a decathlon. It's long.
But it's also fun. It's also, listen, your marriage can be a lot of fun.
That's right.
It can be the happiest thing that you have. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about what you put into it. So let's do this. We got this.
Yeah.
We got this.
Amen. So listen up, everybody. If you guys are listening to this on Spotify, on YouTube, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, on Anchor, wherever you're listening to this, go ahead, give us a like, comment, give us a dope little review. You can also donate to the podcast 99 cents, $2.99, or even $4.99 on our Anchor app. Just go to my homepage, anchor.fm/KennyClutch. All right. And if you guys love this podcast so much, go ahead and share it with your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your grandma, your grandpa, abuela, abuelo. Share it with everybody. Your stepdog, your stepcat, step tarantula. I don't care who it is. Share it with your step chameleon, your neighbor, whoever. Somebody out there needs this marriage checkup. So make sure you check up.
Yes. All
right? That's right.
We about to play some ball. Check up.
All right? Let's do it. That's right.
Check up. So listen, everybody. It's like I always say, when we change the mind, we change the game.
Right.
Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow, worry about itself. And today is all we have. And if today is all you
That's
have,
right.
you make sure you do everything possible to impact the day the best way you know how. My man Les Brown said there's 1,440 minutes in a day. That means you got 1,440 opportunities.
That's right.
Successful. So with that being said, y'all, I see y'all next time on the Clutch Vision Podcast. It's your boy, Kenny Clutch, my beautiful wife, Josie. You know what I'm saying? And we got the Mingles in the house, KennyClutchSpeaks.com. Go ahead and check us out. Make a call, get an appointment, and let's save your marriage today, right now. It ain't over until it's over. God bless y'all. It's your boy, Kenny Clutch, on the Clutch Vision Podcast. Check y'all later. Peace.
We living out the good life, yeah. I ain't got to worry about a thing.
Oh, no.
Had some obstacles I overcame.
Oh, yeah.
Don't have to ever be the same.
Oh, Lord.
Cause when we change the mind, we change the game.